Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Bingity bong bidi bing bing bong bidi bingity bong bidi bing bing bong. It's suggestible time.
It certainly is. And possibly for the last time. We'll talk about it. No spoilers.
No, you said we're doing it at the end. What's happening?
This will get people listening to the end.
Oh, Lord.
Trust
all right.
Me. You've done podcasts.
500 episodes, so you know all about how to podcast.
Not of this, but yeah. How many have we done? I think it's like 195 or something like that.
Right. We're five away from 200. I feel like that's fitting.
Just to be like,
who knows? Hello, welcome to Suggestible, a podcast where we recommend new things to watch, read, and listen to. My name is Claire Tonti. James Clement is here also. We are married, and this is the show. We haven't done one in a long time. I've been traveling and doing things overseas and taking a big old rest.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I ran out of Sex and the City episodes to talk about.
You certainly did. Why are you squinting like that?
It's hot tea. You didn't put any cold water in it.
I did put some cold water in it.
Well, how much though?
I made James a herbal tea, not with caffeine, because he's 40 now and he can't be having no caffeine.
I'm not 40. Don't say that. That's a terrible thing to say.
I have found this week, I have never had grey hairs before. I have had 2 grey eyebrow hairs and 4 grey like weird white hairs growing out of my skull. What is so weird to me as well is I think I sort of thought that maybe just your hairs turn grey, but no, what happens is new ones
grow
out of your head. So now I just have like 4 grey hairs that are about 3 centimetres long out of my crown.
My hair is like 90% grey. You're going to be all right.
Yeah, I know.
Your mum's got barely any grey hair.
I know, but I don't know what's happened, but it's terrible.
I got my first grey hair when I was like 10.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly.
You're 39.
Used to it.
You're going to be all right.
I know, but you're used to that kind of thing. My hair has not been sullied by nary a grey hair.
Sometimes I like catch myself.
For my 38 years.
I see myself in a shop mirror. I'm like, huh, like seeing a ghost. It's like, you know, when you see like a.
That's how I feel about you every day. He's here.
Jesus. Fuck. Thought you died.
That's life, mate.
Yeah. Anyways, this is what we recommend things, obviously. Do you want to kick things off?
Yes, certainly do. Mm-hmm. First up, I'm going to recommend not doing 2 overseas trips back to back.
No? You don't think so?
No, this is suggestible.
Well, I don't recommend looking after children for 2 overseas trips back to back.
Yeah, that is true. That's a lot. It's
that
a lot.
I did not take.
No, my brother got married in Oslo, which was a really beautiful wedding. Mm-hmm. It was very exciting. So I took our son over there.
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. But while I was over there, I did a very cool thing that I'm now going to get into, which I'm recommending to people.
Oh.
And it is sauna.
Oh my God. You've turned into Joe Rogan.
And steam.
And looking at my
thing.
Recommendations, I've turned into you.
Well, okay, so let me explain. I don't know why, but for most of my 38 years, I keep saying I'm 38 because I just had my birthday recently. Don't confuse me on my age, dear God. I've been very confused about saunas because to me, it just seems very uncomfortable. You get very, very hot and sweaty. And there's just like lots of all people all dripping with sweat sitting around in a room.
Yeah.
And I've never understood it. The ones at our local pool are just a whole lot of old dudes.
Just old dudes.
Sweating around with a weird sweaty towel over their shoulders.
And they're always
don't get it.
Talking business. And you can't wear headphones in there. So I'm just listening to bad business advice.
When do you ever go and sit in the sauna?
Well, when I take our sons for swimming lessons and if I don't have our daughter with me,
yes.
I'll do some laps poorly.
You'll go in a sauna?
And then I'll go and do a quick sauna.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Wowza.
Yeah.
I'm learning something new every day.
But it's always the worst. Like it's just unbearable. But in a nice environment, like it's not in like a public pool full of gross business talking, sweaty men, then it's nice.
Yeah, so this is what I'm recommending, which I know is not really fair because people, unless you live in Norway, actually, but people can have access to saunas.
Of course, and also there's a lot of, I get ads for like portable saunas. It's like you can put the sauna
there
in.
There you go.
It's like a zip-up tent sauna. I get like inflatable ice baths and stuff like that.
Yeah, because that is the key.
I mean, that Joe Rogan algorithm.
I had not realized, I know this sounds really dumb, because I have done like hot pools before.
Yeah.
Where you go in the hot pool and then you jump, you do doing a plunge pool thing. And I always thought, that seems terrible, just like shocking your system with icy cold water and then jumping back in the hot pool. Lovely though.
Yeah.
Very good for you. So many health benefits.
Some people do. I'm not a doctor. They'll jump into a snow.
Yeah, but I get it now. Because what I did was my littlest brother booked for my big brother, well, my bigger brother. I'm the oldest, but you know, you get it. Got married. A private sauna thing that was on the fjord in Oslo. So in Norway, Oslo is the main city.
Yeah.
And there's this huge kind of beautiful fjord, like from Frozen, the musical / movie, that runs into the city right next to where the opera house is. And he booked this sauna. It's all wooden and beautiful. And so it's private, so you're not sitting with sweaty strangers, which I don't want to do. You're sitting with like your friends and
sweaty
your family.
Friends.
Yeah, exactly. But you're all just sitting there and then there's a steam thing so it gets really hot and you add extra water onto the thing and goes shh. Everyone's having beers.
Yeah.
And then you climb out and you're looking out this window that's looking out over the fjord. Then you climb out, you get out of the sauna when you can't bear it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then you jump in the actual fjord.
Yeah.
Exactly. You jump off the deck of this beautiful wooden deck of these little private rooms. There's lots of them that are like these little wooden huts on the fjord edges.
This is so specific, this experience, though.
I know.
This is not how other people sauna.
I know. All I'm saying is, though, that obviously not everyone could do that particular experience. It was incredible, though, because I also was terrified of jumping in the fjord. It was dark. It was nighttime. And the fjord's like a giant, you know, it's a river. It's got all kind of like river from the ocean.
Fjord.
It's got swans and all kinds of things on it. I was freaking out and I didn't want to do it. And then I bloody did it. And then it was the best thing ever. And I've suddenly realized, A, two things, which people can do. It is good sometimes to go outside your comfort zone. And two, the benefit of that kind of sweaty thing and then jumping in the ice cold water
plunge.
And then going back in and then doing it repeatedly. I've slept so well.
Yeah, incredible.
I felt so good. Like it was just.
And you got the freshness of it. So you do it at a pool, you get into a chlorinated pool and then you're going back into a weird,
not so
sweaty
good.
Room.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas
where business happens.
Exactly. It just reminded me, and I did feel sort of similarly when I got to do a mineral hot springs thing and they had these icy plunge pools.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the same. It's just, there's something really calming about it. And I just felt like this week, particularly in Australia, there's been a lot of things happening. A beloved comedian, Cal Wilson, passed away I didn't know her personally, but so many in our community, the comedy community did.
Our community. Of,
not
saying.
Our community. As in like so people many know, people that we know her, knew her very well.
Mm.
But I always admired her enormously. Yep. She was just a joy barrel sunshine. And she wrote kids' books. She had a beautiful son. She died very quickly.
Mm.
I think from a rare cancer.
Yeah, I think.
Being
pretty private about it, but I think that's.
Yeah, but that seemed to be the thing. And I just. So my heart was just. I was devastated, I think, as well, because it made me think about mortality and how, as always happens, you realize how fragile everything is. And you were living in like a construct of an idea that everything is not, but it actually is. And also just through COVID, I loved her videos because she would make these ridiculous like rainbow sparkly hats.
Mm.
And she got painted in one for like the Archibald Prize or something.
Right, right.
And it won an award. Anyway, she was just this joy rainbow. So that made me sad. Then we had the Yes campaign vote for First Nations voice in the Parliament.
Which I'd love to be like, I was surprised. Like I wasn't that surprised. I was hopeful, but I wasn't overly surprised. Yeah.
And
we have people who we know who like works really hard on that as
correct
well.
Correct on that campaign and the answer was no. So if you don't live in Australia, I'm sure the news has travelled around because we're the only country now that had that kind of colonisation happen where we don't recognise our First Nations people adequately in the Constitution. So that's depressing.
Anyway, just go to Norway and have a cold
plunge.
And
all the things that are happening globally in the world.
Make you feel better.
I know. So I know it doesn't make sense, but I just think wherever you can get a bit of reprieve or some mental health stuff, and it reminded me that like the cold plunge and a hot sauna, not obviously in Norway, but just like even at your local pool, just something that like physically you do that actually improves how you feel mentally.
It's good for like endorphins and various body chemicals, yeah, et cetera, as well.
It just
I don't know
really
which
did
ones.
Help me sleep. And I just thought if anyone's struggling with that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's also good for exercise recovery.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Oh, my, actually the thing that my friend Marty does, which obviously this is like, if you can't get to a local pool and you can't find a sauna or whatever, he has a hot shower and then he has a cold shower every morning.
Yeah.
And he swears by that.
Yeah, but he also swears by not having kids. So, like, let's be real. Marty's fitness and energy levels have nothing to do with his cold/hot shower.
Look, all I'm saying is that is true, actually.
He's still got abs, Claire. He's 41. Doesn't make any sense.
He has a room in his house full of Lego. I shouldn't be telling everyone that, but he does. Mm. And so we.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he's such a great guy. He directed us in a horror film, just a little local one. Yeah. So great.
Which I hope never emerges.
Oh, my God. I really hope it does one day because it's so good.
Thank
Your God. Death scene, so good.
I thank God I'm barely in it.
Anyway, so yeah, that's something I'd recommend for your mental health.
Cool.
All right, over to you.
Well, I'm going to recommend a book that you gave to me quite a while ago and then recommended on this show.
Ah, I see.
It's by Trent Dalton. It's called Love Stories. You familiar with this?
I gave it to you.
Yeah,
so yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about? So yes. Trent Dalton, you might know, he's an Australian. He still is, I guess, a journalist. And then he wrote a book, his breakout novel was called Boy Swallows Universe, which I read a few years ago, which is an incredible novel, which is loosely also based on his life. Mm-hmm. So what he decided to do for this story was after the pandemic, he was gifted a typewriter from a woman that he knew who died. And she was like, please do something special with this. And it was this beautifully maintained piece of equipment. Like he went to get it serviced and they were like, this is perfect. You know, this is absolutely fine. So he said, what I'm going to do with this, I'm going to get a little fold out card table. I'm going to put it in the Brisbane CBD, which is the central business downtown. Is that's right?
That's it. That's and, how you say it. Well done. You managed it.
And put up a sign that says something like love stories or I want to hear love stories or whatever. So just anybody who would want to walk past and stop and sit with him and just tell them if they've got a love story, they tell a love story. And it's about, you know, it's people like couples who are talking about being married for decades. It's about like young and new love. It's about heartbreak. It's got stories of like love between a parent and a child. It's about loss and grief and reunion. And it's just incredible. And if you're like, God, this is a boring one. I hate this one. It's all short. Like it's all like short stories and little snippets. And he gives you kind of insights into the person he's talking to. And it's not just their story. It's like what's going on around him in the area. Like he talks about what he witnesses at different times of day in the central business downtown area.
That's it. So the like, downtown.
There's this time called, I think.
Downtown. Down the alley. Yeah.
He talks about like the magic hour, which is, I think it's like just before lunch. So everything quietens down and whatever. And it's just like mostly this dead kind of area in it. And then you start to really notice and focus in on things and the quiet of it. There's also like often danger afoot because, you know, you're in the central business downtown area that, you know, there might be, you know, drug addicts or whatever. So there's an element of that. He's not really in any kind of danger. There's like happenstance, like coincidences that happen, people that he runs into that like he used to know and all these kinds of things. It's really great. So I would recommend this book. I don't know if you've read it, Claire, but I would recommend it to you and anybody else who's just looking for a nice read. He also talks about like his life in relation to like his relationship with his wife and, you know, the people that he knew, you know, growing up and all these other things. And it's just he's just a great author. And I should read whatever his other book is because he did another book.
Boy Swallows Universe.
That's the one I mentioned. I read that one, but there's another one.
All Our Shimmering Skies.
Which I haven't read. Have you read that one?
I have started it. I found that it's the beginning of it, I don't want to spoil it, but it's heartbreaking.
Oh, my God.
And you know what I was in my, like, looking after my head and heart over the last year and a bit.
Yeah.
And I couldn't keep going with it because it just broke my heart.
So no good.
No, I think it is actually really good.
All right.
And it's beautiful, beautifully written. And I do plan to go back to it, but I just, it just broke my heart. The first two chapters and I was like, Trent! What are you doing to me?
You're killing me,
I
Trent.
Can't handle
he's
it.
He's a real softy.
Yeah, like he's so sweet.
And he talks about that a lot.
I remember Annabelle Crabbe said she interviewed him and the first thing he said was, here's Trent working out his bullshit again in a novel. You know, just like working through his stuff with everyone. He's a beautiful writer and seems like a really great person.
Yeah.
And it's also a really beautiful book, hey.
It's a beautifully made book because you gave me the hardcover one. Yeah, I'm sure that it's obviously available Kindle and presumably softcover and whatever. But, yeah, it's a really beautiful book. Yeah, like even the texture of the cover.
Yeah, it's really lovely. It's red with the gold, and then there's the pages as well. Mm. Kind of,
there's
like,
the pages of the book. That's
but seeing the way he's typed it,
it's got the title on the front, all of the things that you've come to know and love.
Yeah, man. All of that.
Front to back.
Front to back, back to front.
No.
Opening it left to right.
Back to front. No.
Is it Japan and China where they read books in the opposite direction?
I don't know specifically, but I know in Japan, well, I know this because I bought our son some Japanese Transformers comics. Mm. They bundled, they read backwards, basically. Yeah. But I don't know I don't know anything. And I refuse to learn.
That is true. That is you, old Jimmy Clement.
Don't want to know nothing. Don't tell me anything. I don't want to hear about it.
That's you.
I'll come to it on my own time and then I'll get it wrong.
On your own dime. Yeah. In the dangerous downtown.
That's right.
The central business downtown.
That's right. These are all links below, by the way. I don't know how you'd link going to a plunge pool in Norway or whatever.
Okay, I actually have some other recommendations.
Oh, okay. Collins Hereditary. Okay, what's your other thing?
All right, okay. So visiting The Scream by Edvard Munch
in
the Oslo Music. No, I'm joking.
Right. I'm just going to say I went to the moon. Let's do flights of fancy.
I'm sorry, that was really – it's also really awful if someone's been on like a European holiday and then they just like talk to you about all the
God,
things they've done. Everyone hates
it,
that. Everyone hates seeing a slideshow of other people's holidays.
Worse if they got pictures. The good thing now is that you can put it on Instagram and you can ignore it there.
Yeah.
As opposed to somebody – like someone, you go to someone's house and like, do you want to see my trips?
But also
trips and photos?
Here's the
I'm like,
thing.
No, not really.
I actually feel like if their travel photos are in a collection on Instagram and there's like five of them – that's fine.
Oh, totally.
Because it's
the
highlight.
Yep.
It's back when we had to look at people's photo albums or like slideshows from a digital camera.
Ugh.
And there's like 1,000.
Yeah.
And you like sitting there, I guess your parents are putting them on the TV because it's
And maybe it's just me. I don't care if you've taken like a photo of the Tower of Pisa, right? I fucking know what that looks like. I've even been there, not to brag. Yeah,
that's why I always think you have to put yourself in photos.
Yeah, you've got
to
be in the photos, right?
Exactly.
No one cares.
Exactly.
I could Google a picture of that. It could be the background of my phone. It's not, but it could be.
Correct. Mm. Exactly. So what I do want to recommend, I actually stole this recommendation. I went to see Chat 10 Looks 3, which is one of my favorite podcasts. I got it.
Dog is really getting on my nerves, Claire.
Zippy, what are you doing in here? Why? No.
Just mugging around.
Just stop
it. Mason said if the dog puts its paw on you like that, it's a sign of disrespect. That's what makes, because the dog did that to him, climbed up on his chest and he's like, that dog doesn't respect me. And I'm like, probably not, but why?
Except for when podcast dog Ollie, when you're feeling blue, she will come up to you and she just put one paw on you and then she tilts her little head and looks at you and you go, thanks, Oles. Mm. I know. Life
she's got
is
that
a
look
lot.
Like, I'll
life
kill
is
you.
A lot. No. Mm. No, she's getting old. Goodness
getting
me.
Old,
she's 11 this year.
11,
No, so I went to my favorite podcast.
Thanks for getting that dog, by the way. It's going to die soon and I'll be sad. Thanks for that. Thanks for that, Claire.
Oh.
Yeah.
But she's given us so much joy. That's life. You can't not do things, James. And then you
watch me. Just you watch.
And you do nothing and you never feel anything.
Yeah, I know.
You
got
to try. You got to try things. Mm. Anyway, she's
anyway,
the best.
After these dogs, no more dogs.
Yeah, okay, no, definitely. But that's more Zippy.
I'm gone. Like, yeah, I'm gone
she's
dogless.
Chewed everything we know, we own.
She's better now, but I'm gone dogless, mate.
Yeah.
I love dogs, but I'm gone dogless.
Me too.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Imagine the freedom. Imagine the quiet. Imagine the hairlessness, as in not us, though we might be bald by then, but like the dogs, just like no
just
dog dogless. Hair.
We're both bald. We're completely bald.
Well, we'll be, what, in our late 50s or something.
Yeah, maybe.
There you go.
My dad's not bald, so we'll see.
No, my mum's not bald either. But going by the way this year's happening, I'm now going to be white by the end of the year.
Wow.
White-haired.
Come and join me.
Please not. Okay, so I went and saw my favourite podcast, Chat 10 Looks 3, Annabelle Cravley Sales. It was a really great live show and it's a great podcast to listen to for recommendations. At the end of the show, Lee Sales read this passage from Nick Cave.
Oh, Nick Cave.
Reminded me again that he does this blog called The Red Hand Files.
Yeah.
And people from all over the world write to him just any question.
They say, Nick Cage, I loved you in the movie Face Off.
Yes, that's what they say. They absolutely do.
Cage, I loved you in the movie Snake Eyes, but not the G.I. Joe spin-off prequel movie. I'm talking about the Snake Eyes movie from the 90s.
Correct, exactly. Yeah. So I'll just explain to you what the Red Hand Files is first before I read you one of the letters. So the Red Hand Files began in September of 2018 as a simple idea, a place where I would answer questions from my fans. This is Nick writing. Over the years, the Red Hand Files has burst the boundaries of its original concept to become a strange exercise in communal vulnerability and transparency. Hundreds of letters come in each week asking an extraordinarily diverse array of questions, from the playful to the profound, the deeply personal to the flat-out nutty. I read them all and try my best to answer a question each week. The Red Hand Files has no moderator and it is not monetized, and I am the only one who has access to the questions that sit patiently waiting to be answered. Thank you all for being a part of what has become, at least for me, a life-changing, soul-enriching exercise in commonality and togetherness.
I love Nick Cave.
Oh, my God. I love him too. So he did have he's lost two children.
What's that?
He's lost two children.
Jesus Christ. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. He's an extraordinary musician, but he's also an amazing human being.
Yeah, he had a song called, I think it was in the 90s, called Red Right Hand. And I wonder if that's where it comes from. I assume it is. Anyway.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say that would be it. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, beautiful musician and a really, really interesting person who's suffered a lot and has sort of led through that, which I think I just admire his art as well, that practice, I think, of using what has happened to him and his humanity to kind of shine a light for other people and pathways through really dark times.
And he did that song with Kylie Minogue, which you might be like, that doesn't work, but it does. It's actually a good song.
Yeah, it's a really good song. I listened to that recently. Mm. I got recommended it because I was writing a murder ballad and someone recommended that. Oh, nice. I listened to it. That's a murder ballad.
Maybe I recommended it to you.
Maybe you did. Anyway, I wanted to read this particular letter because I just think for this week and at this time, it's really poignant.
Sure.
This is the letter that Nick received from L in Germany. I'm 20, a high school graduate in my gap year, and I find it pointless to pursue anything in this bizarre and temporary world that is so much against my values in every possible way. I believe I am speaking for a generation here. I'm asking with the biggest admiration what you would do in my or our situation. And do you mind if I read his reply?
No, you've actually read this to me. So I know
read it.
No, you showed this to me the other day.
Did I?
100%, yeah. But for everybody else, they probably weren't
it
there.
Did not.
I know this.
Oh, my gosh. I don't have any memory of that. Did I really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy moly. All right.
I know.
Are you sure?
100%. I know about this. We had this conversation.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, here I go.
How's long COVID treating you? I'll read it to you.
Yeah. Seriously. Okay. Dear L, you are right in describing the world as bizarre and temporary. It is indeed a strange and deeply mysterious place, forever changing and remaking itself anew. But this is not a novel condition. Our world hasn't only recently become bizarre and temporary. It has been so ever since inception, and it will continue to be such until its end, mystifying and forever in a state of flux. The same can be said for our values. They too can be temporary and exist in a state of flux. If my experience is anything to go by, the values that you hold sacred now may change and be considerably different to those you hold dear in 10 years' time, and be almost unrecognizable when compared to those you possess when you reach your latter years. You may also find that some of the values that you perceive now as incontestable truths will be looked at with suspicion, even contempt, by the generation that come after you. A humbling realization if ever there was one. In the past, for example, an older person giving advice to someone younger was a trusted value for all, but in the present age, it is sometimes viewed in a different light altogether. Still, L, you did ask, and so to the question. What you and your generation can do in order to live fulfilling lives in a bizarre and temporary world that does not share your values? Well, I would not suggest for a moment that you change those values, because even though values evolve and grow, they are at any given time a crucial part of our nature and critical to the development of the world. My suggestion would be to instead look to two qualities that will improve your life immeasurably. The first is humility. Humility amounts to an understanding that the world is not divided into good and bad people, but rather it is made up of all manner of individuals, each broken in their own way, each caught up in the common human struggle, and each having the capacity to do both terrible and beautiful things. If we truly comprehend and acknowledge that we are all imperfect creatures, we find that we become more tolerant and accepting of others' shortcomings, and the world appears less dissonant, less isolating, and less threatening. The other quality is curiosity. If we look with curiosity at people who do not share our values, they become interesting rather than threatening. As I've grown older, I've learned that the world and the people in it are surprisingly interesting, and that the more you look and listen, the more interesting they become. Cultivating a questioning mind, of which conversation is the chief instrument, enriches our relationship with the world. Having a conversation with someone I may disagree with is, I have come to find, a great life-embracing pleasure. L, my advice then is to try to make more use of humility and curiosity. These attributes have a softening effect on our sometimes inflexible and isolating value systems. They allow us to remain true to our temporary selves, but fluid and playful in our dealings with this strange and ever-changing world. Love, Nick.
You've read me some of that. I haven't read the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think read it to you.
I'm sure you read an excerpt from it, unless I imagined it.
No, I think I just told you about
it. Okay, maybe that was it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was amazing. What an amazing writer and artist and musician. And do you know the stuff that this guy's done, right? He wrote the movie The Proposition. It's like a 2005 Western starring Guy Pearce. It's fucking incredible. If you haven't seen it, check it out. He also composes music for movies. He did The Assassination of Jesse James, Hell or High Water, another Western. Well, these are all Westerns, actually. But he also, you know that movie Blonde that came out? Apparently it's terrible, but I'm sure his work on it is quite good. Yeah, he's amazing, man. Incredible.
Yeah. He's a really, just an incredible human being.
Mm. He also wrote a sequel script to Gladiator, and not the one that's coming out, the one where Russell Crowe's like a general through time and he keeps popping up in different wars and different eras. They never made that one, but, that's neither here nor there. But, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
What a guy. Yeah. Do you know what I find? Amanda Palmer, who is an artist and musician that I really admire, talks about him as one of her heroes.
Mm.
I just think what he must have been through over the last few years and to be able to turn that pain into that kind of reflection and art and a response, you know, emailing and responding to people in that way. And anyway, I just really admire him a lot. So,
yeah,
really the depth of his humanness, I think,
and
capacity for compassion and love in a world that's been very cruel to him. I think I really admire.
Yeah, just what he's been able to give back is amazing.
Mm.
I could never and I wouldn't. I would choose not to.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, cool. Well, I've got another thing I'm going to recommend.
Cool.
Get ready for it.
Here we go.
Poetry.
What?
That's right. I'm on the poetry train. God.
I know. I'm so proud of you.
I finally clicked.
It's clicked
with me.
Proud.
I get it. Not all of it, but I get it. I get how to like consume it and like absorb it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Something happened and I just kind of, I don't know. I think because I've been slowing down work a bit as well. So anyway, if you don't know how to read poetry, it's basically what I've found is you read the poem. And then you just sit with it for a bit. You don't like burn through it. You think about what it means, what it could be in relation to the author, to you, to people around you and all of those. There's no right way to do it, I assume.
No.
And I've got, the book that I've been reading, it's by young Pablo, who you got me onto. He's got a great Instagram account if you want to follow him and a number of books. It's called Inward, which isn't his latest book. He has a new book that's out, which I'll get when the physical copy's out in a few weeks. But I just read like a little bit every night before bed instead of like going on my phone and browsing Reddit and being like, oh God, why am I doing this? just watching people like punch each other or whatever, it gets thrown up on me at Reddit. It's really amazing. So, I mean, you followed this guy for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he has like poetry. He's a former addict, and he's just been through so much and come through. And he's this beautiful poet where he talks about like healing and self acceptance and addiction and letting go and all of these different things. And it's amazing. And I actually have a couple here.
Ooh.
If you don't mind, that I will read.
Are they some that I've recommended?
No. Have you spoken about this guy before on this?
No, I haven't.
Okay, cool.
I really haven't. I'm sorry. You ready? I shouldn't joke.
There we go. Stop all the clocks. It's not the poem from Four Weddings and a Funeral.
I do love that poem.
Which I think is not a great movie.
All right.
Just between me and you. I mean, Notting Hill's better. Let's be realistic.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Okay. Okay. This one is called Nothing. These don't have names. it is normal to feel down, tired, and emotionally exhausted when you're going through a big transition, especially when you have to let go of something good for the chance at something better. Great changes are not meant to be easy. They arise to inspire your growth. And this one I like also. Second poem.
There's who even is this person?
Don't even worry about
it. It's after you've turned 40.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die. Her rebirth was stunning. She lifted herself up from the depths of despair, grasped her dreams, embedded them in her heart, and walked forward into a future that only her will and vision could control. Brackets, revival. I don't like how he does that. Sometimes he'd be like, brackets, self-love at the end. It's like, you don't need to do that. Just write the poem and leave the bit at the end. But, it's great. It's really incredible.
I love that. I'm so proud of you that you're really
thank you. Poetry. I was just thinking about like what you've been through in your life and what you're doing with your music, and it's just incredible. We should talk about the festival you've got coming up as well, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I should.
Well, before we wrap this up. But, just really great. And, you know, that the poem doesn't have to be gender specific. Just because it says her, you can maybe relate it to you. If you're not a her, you could be something else, and that's cool. That's what I think.
That is cool.
Anyway, what's your gig?
I'm really excited that I just can't explain to you how much excitement I have in my heart that you are into poetry.
Get over it.
I never thought this day would come. Do you know what else is great about poetry, which I think you've discovered too? It's short.
Yeah, it's short.
So you can, but it sticks with you.
Yes.
They're kind of like friends to me. Yeah. And I don't know if you have found this, but I will find ones that I like and I'll just go back to them.
Mm.
I'll read them again. So there's actually a really great Instagram account that I've recommended before called Poetry Is Not a Luxury.
Yes, I follow that too.
Yeah, and I follow that one because they're all different and they just pop up and I read one a day.
Mm.
But you find different poets that way, and it's interesting the ones that do really kind of hold your heart.
Yeah.
And there are some poems that I love that have been with me for years that I will always go back to.
Mm. Stop All the Clocks, for example.
Correct, exactly. There's a beautiful poet who's very famous, Mary Oliver, mm-hmm. who I sent an episode of Krista Tippett's podcast called On Being. I've also recommended this before on the show.
Yeah.
But that particular conversation, because Mary Oliver passed away, she had a really, really traumatic childhood, so much so that she can't stand being indoors. And she lived in
I remember you talking about this actually.
Yeah. And so much of her poetry is set, I think it's in Cape Cod, and she lives out in the wilderness.
Right.
And she lived with not a lot of money, so she was often foraging for food while she was writing her poetry. But living a life in that way, she has really great advice for writers in general about how to cultivate a practice to allow that kind of messaging to come through. She talks about how poems are closer to songs than they are to prose.
Sure, yeah.
And that it's
and they don't have to rhyme.
No, exactly. And also that poetry is really old and it's actually made to be shared. Mm. So it's an oral tradition before it was written down. Human beings have been doing it for thousands of years and often in groups. So when
most people weren't literate. So
exactly. So like when I was in Exeter, I went to this amazing Mothers on the Mic event where all of these women just got up to do like beat poetry that they'd written with their kids on their hips. And it was like this indoor picnic. And they were all just kind of clapping and sharing these poems that, you know, their community was responding to and listening to in real time. And it wasn't necessarily to be published and it wasn't necessarily to go anywhere other than in their community. But, poetry has that way of capturing something about what we're all going through in a very short kind of, I don't know, I love it. So great. Anyway, gig.
Yeah, gig.
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 Gig. Gig.
Right, so the gig. So I'm playing Seven Sisters. It's the first festival I've ever played. It's a women's only event. It's from the 24th to the 27th of November at Glenoroa in Victoria, which is Torngurung country. Mm-hmm. And it's three nights of well-being. So I'm playing on the Friday night at 8:15 in the chai tent, and I'm super excited about it because I've never done an event like this before. No. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be very cozy. Candice McLeod, actually, who played with me in Yak and Dander, is singing first, and she's a really amazing singer too and songwriter. So I feel really, really privileged that I have been invited to come to sing. So it's just going to be an acoustic gig, which is really lovely. My friend Emily's coming.
Your friend Emily.
Old friend Emily, who is also my friend Emily, is coming to play with me, which is really special. She's a really amazing person. Mm. I'm going to be handing out some percussion. We're going to be doing some group singing. So that's really exciting. I'll be singing through not the whole album but some of the album. Yeah. And then also, so on the 22nd of November, I'm going to be doing a speech as part of Generation Women at Howler Bar. So I think it starts at 7 p.m. You can find tickets online. Collings will put a link below.
Is tickets online yet?
Not for that one yet. Okay. No, but you can get tickets soon. Mm. So Generation Women is this amazing event that happens once a month on a Wednesday night at Howler in Brunswick, and they ask a woman from each generation to tell a story based on a theme. And so it will be from women in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, sometimes even 80s. Mm. And watching on one night a woman from each generation kind of get up and speak and tell their story is so fascinating because the depth of the storytelling changes as they get older as well, and the perspective is different. And you just get these incredible stories from women who are in all walks of life. So they're not necessarily performers. Some of them are, some of them are writers, some of them are comedians, and some of them are artists and singers, and some are, people who've worked in loads of different varieties of
people
industries.
People who have the story or something to
say,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So mine's on a time of transition. Mm. So I haven't written it yet. I've got a couple of weeks to write it. So that's going to be on the 22nd of November at Howler Bar. And that's
Can't
the gigs I've
really
got
cool.
at the moment.
Yeah.
So, but watch this space. There's more coming next year, I think. So, I am actually on the 2nd of February, I'm going to be playing a really small acoustic gig in Shepparton.
Yeah.
More details to come about that, but I've been invited to come and play. They're purely acoustic, that one.
Cool.
Gigs, but I'm not sure the location. So have a look over on my Instagram and on my website. I'll be updating there over there with events.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Before we wrap it up, it wouldn't be proper if I didn't watch an awful thing that you'd hate.
I know, it was very confusing to me. Poetry and Love Stories by Trent Dalton. I'm like, who is this man?
I've been watching other things, but then because we hadn't recorded in a while, I went through and I'm like, normally I write stuff down. I haven't been writing down what I watched. I'm like, I can't remember what I've been doing. I've just been consuming media and forgetting what it is, which is the best way to watch anything. But I recently watched, and I talked this about on my other podcast, which is more successful. It's called The Weekly Planet. We just hit 500 episodes. You're welcome. It's called The Fall of the House of Usher, and it's by Mike Flanagan, who's a great horror director, writer. He did Midnight Mass, which I think is my favorite series. Slight spoiler on that. It's about a small island, like a fishing village, and then these religious miracles start to happen, and they're like, oh, my God, an angel has visited.
Yeah, I remember this one.
And it turns out it's a fucking vampire. And some people are like, I don't think that's an angel. I think that's something else. They're like, no, it seems all right. It's probably fine. It's amazing. It's really good. He also did the sequel to The Shining called Dr. Sleep. With Ewan McGregor, which is also amazing. He's done a bunch of other stuff which people probably have heard of, and he does he's adapted a bunch of Stephen King stuff and also done his own stuff, including this. Anyway, so it's basically Succession, but there's ghosts and murder and gore and an acid rave and all of these different kinds of things happening on it. So if you like the dynamic of a family, like an awful rich family, but then you want to see a bunch of them get murdered. In weird supernatural ways, this might be the
wow. So it's like Succession with murders.
Yeah, exactly.
I
don't love everything. Like he did a young teen kind of spooky thing recently, which I didn't love, but also it wasn't aimed at me. So I'm like, this isn't for me. It's fine. Mm. But I'm always interested to know what he's doing because it's always interesting, or it has been as of so far. So I really like his work. But anyways, we should talk about, Claire, what is going on with this show, which we are doing, but maybe not doing next week.
Yeah, but maybe not doing next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we haven't been doing it for a while. So, I have been taking a break, obviously, because I've been super exhausted and
traveling.
And I spent a lot of time obviously working on the music that I've been doing, and it's been a huge thing to kind of navigate, and I just needed a break from everything. And I'm trying to work out what I want to do next, really, and that's taking a bit of brain space. And we also really realized that in making this show, which we've loved doing, and we did all through COVID, I still can't believe we did that.
Believe it.
Because I actually was looking for some reason. I popped onto my Twitter and I had put this feed up, this post up about at the very beginning of 2020. It was 6 weeks before I was going to have our daughter. And I said in the tweet, I have just realized that in 6 weeks I will be having a baby by C-section during a global pandemic while raising a kindergarten kid and teaching them full-time and running the company all from home.
Yeah.
Just healing from a cesarean.
Yeah.
And I just read that line and I thought, God.
It's a lot of things, isn't it?
That is a lot of things. I had no idea it was going to be like, what, two, 3 years of all of that? Huge. Anyway, so.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
So, but we're trying to figure out how to actually watch them things together.
Well, because that's the thing. Like often we'd separate and watch like different stuff or read different stuff, and then we'd spend time like consuming media independently.
Separately,
and
which
then
is
we'd
like,
come together for 40 minutes to talk about something. So we thought if we bring this back, which we probably will like sometime in the new year, then we'll both read something or we'll both watch something and we'll talk about it. That way, which makes so much more sense.
It does, actually.
But that way we can, like, we could still, enjoy things and but also, like, spend time together. That's the idea, at least.
Yeah, because it has over time meant that, because as parents, if there are parents listening, which I know there are, that little bit of window of time once the kids go to bed is, like, the only time that you often spend together. And because we've had to consume stuff to recommend to the other person. And then what happens as well is that we recommend stuff to each other and we never get to watch it because once you've talked about it on the show, we think, I can't watch that now because it's already been talked about.
Yeah.
So I think if we do bring it back, hopefully in the new year, that's a way better approach.
And for me as well, it's like it's an opportunity for us to like reconnect and like grow together and all of these things, you know. So
exactly.
Because we've been working very separately as well, like because you know you're touring and doing music, and I'm podcasting and sleeping, and we're both looking after
I'm
kids.
Reading poetry now.
So we're like taking some trips together and some time together and all of that. We will be talking, just not recording most of it.
Yeah, correct, exactly. But and then we'll sort of look at the new year. I think I realized that over the last sort of time, like the last few years. And I was working really hard at kind of de-stressing and caring for my nervous system.
Yeah.
But I still think there's, it's just thinking about the way that we approach our work again.
Mm.
I always feel like that as you get older, and I'm 38, so I'm not that old. I bet I'll listen to this when I'm 60 and be like, oh, God, she knew nothing. But, just the way, it's so interesting how just when you think you have everything figured out, you don't.
Yeah.
And you have to reassess how you do things yet again. And I guess I'm looking at this new career that I've kind of embarked on and realizing that I don't want to stretch myself too thin. I want to be able to be present with you and the kids and also do the thing I love, but not necessarily stretch myself to the point where I'm super exhausted.
Yeah. So, and we've both been, at various times, it's probably an overshare, but really involved in our work. And it's kind of something we don't want to fall too much into. There's obviously times when you have to, When, you got to
and you're building something. It's just trying to find that balance, isn't it? And I think as parents and particularly, but anyone will relate to this too, that it's this constant.
Not our friend Marty, who only builds Lego and gets abs.
And wins awards for his cyber safety.
Exactly.
Videos. The pendulum kind of swings back and forth, and you have to kind of figure out what works best.
Mm.
So that's kind of where we're at. Hey, we're taking some, and I think part of it is in our culture that we live in, this Western kind of culture. It's so much about productivity, and it's so fast paced, and particularly where we live in Melbourne, is this real drive to like constantly be working and constantly be bettering yourself and constantly be reading things and working and pushing.
And the good thing about the really lucky thing about where we are, like in our lives and careers, is we can choose to not do that some of the time, you know.
Yeah,
whereas
exactly.
if we were teachers, which we should be by all accounts, we got, you know, very, very fortunate, then that would, you know, we would be doing that, you know. That would
yeah.
be our lives, which isn't a bad thing. It just no, means that no. yeah, it would be different.
Yeah, mm. and I guess it's just even in whatever circumstance you're in, it's like trying to figure out the best way to still be able to rest.
Yeah.
I was speaking about this with a friend who just came back from overseas, and she was saying that because her family had taken some time to just decompress and just spend time together. So much of what we do with our kids and our family, or just overall as a culture, is just like more yeah. activities, more things, and going and going and going. And what I'm finding at the moment is like keeping up with all the messages and everything from
all
friends.
All the WhatsApp groups.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You got to mute them. That's what I do. Just
yeah,
mute
I don't
everything.
Like meeting them. I like to know what's going on.
I mean, you can still check them.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, I feel like anyway, it'll be a nice bit of time this end of the year to yeah. figure out what 2024 looks like for us. Actually, maybe we should take this out, Colin, because this is really just a conversation where we're planning out like what we're doing.
No, I think it's fine. It'd be weird if we were like, we're not doing an episode for a while. Bye.
And then, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And thanks for everyone for
oh, my God,
messages.
So supportive. And people, like, send messages, like, when are you guys coming back and whatever. And I'm sorry that, you know, we're going to pause
yeah.
again for a little bit. It's been – we see the messages and, we're sorry.
No, we're sorry. And I'm really grateful.
And maybe you'll pop in the Weekly Planet more, I guess. We could even do that.
Yeah,
I would
really love to do
Mason
that.
Because I know Mason likes talking to you. I think he does. as well.
I'm pretty nice. To
well,
talk to.
The new Captain Marvel movie's coming out. And
oh,
you're,
good. So it's got to be about
now
a
listen,
girl.
Now, listen. And you're a woman. So this
oh,
actually
I
makes
see.
Sense.
Yes,
and there's good. Three Captain Marvels. So, you know,
so
this time around.
There you go. Extra woman yeah. in there. Got to get a woman in there to talk
right.
about the extra woman.
Exactly.
I'm going to come in and talk about I want to watch a movie with you guys that I'm going to hate.
Okay.
That's like some kind of horrible cars murdering macho bullshit. And I want you to get me in.
You know what we'd love?
Because I don't want to do just like a token episode on the Little Mermaid, even though I love The Little Mermaid.
No,
you know?
Totally. Well,
not
I don't,
that I know
I
anything
agree.
About movies.
Martin Scorsese has a new movie coming out called Killers of the Flower Moon. And it's in the 1920s and it's about a Native American tribe. This is a true story. Who they're murdered after oil is found on their land and the FBI investigates. It goes for 3 hours and 24 minutes.
That sounds fucking terrible.
No. It's I think... It's got Brendan Fraser.
I like him.
It's got Leonardo DiCaprio, famously stunted.
Do you know
stunted,
I had a huge thing for George
the
Jungle.
Jungle? Yeah. I mean,
Do
even though
know
I,
that?
Yeah, obviously, I mean,
oh
come
God,
on, man.
I was obsessed with him yeah. for a while as a teenager. Like, I had a really deep crush.
This is, yeah, of course. I mean, the hair, the abs, all of it.
All of
I get it.
It. All
yeah.
of it. I don't really know now because I did. I feel like a few years ago I went to back to watch it because I was like, oh, I remember this.
Yeah.
And I watched it and I was like, oh, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I went back because I'd never seen it and then I watched it. I think it was when I was just finishing teaching. I'm like, I don't know, we'll put on George of the Jungle. And I'm like, I always thought it was like a stupid thing and it is stupid, but it's pretty funny. Like it's
oh, yeah.
intentionally.
No, I
like,
didn't mean like it was
oh, you mean
a funny
like,
movie.
You didn't...
I was just like not into him anymore.
What's your era of Brendan Fraser is your favourite? I'll show you
that
mine.
Era.
Yeah?
George of the Jungle. What was?
All right, no, that's not true. You know what the best era of Brendan Fraser is, I'll show you.
The Mummy?
It's the Mummy, 100%.
Yeah, true. That is true.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Come on.
I know. I really was – actually, I do remember that. I was really into him in the Mummy as well.
Just beautiful.
I loved – yeah.
Those movies, they ruined his body, like the surgeries that he's had and all of that, yeah.
From the stunts he had
stunts,
to do.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty grim.
I mean,
but,
yeah.
Apparently, the nicest guy in
That's
Hollywood.
That's really sad, actually. Yeah.
But now he's had the resurgence, so he's like doing big properties again. He's just really excited to be working.
Cool. All cool. right. Well, so was it Martin Scorsese?
Martin Scorsese.
Said?
Yeah.
All right.
And he doesn't just make gangster movies. I talked about this
right.
recently, but he did a movie. I think you watched it maybe with me. It's called. He did a movie called Silence, which is about Christian priests who go to Japan to teach them about Jesus, and they're just not having it, and so they. Basically capture them and kind of and like torture them and try to get them to convert away from Christianity and denounce Jesus. This is based on a true story and it's about like faith and religion. It's got Adam Driver and one of the Spider-Men in it and Andrew Adam.
You know how I feel about
Andrew
Adam
Garfield.
Driver.
Well, yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Love Adam Driver.
I can't believe there was a time when I'm like, is this guy handsome? Of course he's handsome. Since he figured out how to brush his hair over his ears, he nailed that look. Anyways, if you want to review this show, I'm going to read up through
it's
three
It's Joseph Gordon-Levitting.
Joseph Gordon-Levitting?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I mean him and Joseph Gordon-Levitt have both figured out their ears and they're both super hot now. Do you know?
There he is.
They've figured him out.
What did Joseph Gordon-Levitt do to figure out his ears?
Do you remember him in 10 Things I Hate About You? Yeah. He was just a taxi with his doors open. Yes. Like that guy said to you when you were a kid.
He did. I never forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
And then he somehow from that movie where he was like stupidly and gorgeously in love as a nerdy kid.
Yeah.
And he was very much a kid
in that.
He just suddenly became incredibly hot.
He blossomed.
He bloomed.
That's right.
He did.
Mm. How did he do it?
Figured his ears out.
Anyways, if you want to reach the show, you can with email if you've got one, or you might not today. It's okay if you don't. Do you not?
Oh, whoopsies.
Okay. Well,
I do have emails. Oh, cool. I do get emails.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll do. You can review the show. You can do it in app. This one, I'm going to read three. This one's from Peach Dick, who says, sick show.
What?
Yeah.
Peach Dick.
Yeah.
Wowza. D-I-K.
I love how James is grumpy. It reminds me of myself. I also like Claire. 10 out of 5. There you go. Thank you. This one's some super fun film time. He says, I love Susceptible Pod, a very good pod with two very good hosts. It's like yin and yang. One is cheery and one makes the world bright and one is James. Not this week. And this one is from Amphetamantium.
Oh, says, these super names this week.
Gosh. Great chemistry, they say. I wonder what their secret is.
Mm,
great question. Yeah.
Poetry.
Yeah, it's just poetry straight up.
It's just poetry.
This episode is too long. We never do episodes this long.
I know. My gosh. Mm. All right. I have got a heartfelt monster movie rec from Xavier in Sydney.
Let's do it.
Hey, Claire and James. My name's Xavier and I love the podcast and I've been listening to the show for years. I love hearing the two of you banter and talk about shows, movies and books, and I would never have heard of it if it wasn't for the show. So I thought I'd suggest a movie that you two and fellow listeners might not be familiar with.
Let's go.
Recently, a cinema near me was having a deal where certain film tickets could be purchased at $6, and I thought, for $6, I'll watch anything.
That's a bargain.
I know. That's what they used to be when I worked at the movies, which was like
on Tuesdays, though, right?
30 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you were 9. So go on.
And the cinema just so happened to be playing the new, at least in Australia, movie Shin Ultraman. If you're unfamiliar, James frantically Googles. If you're unfamiliar with
Ultraman.
Shin means, Ultraman is a tokusatsu, a live-action film or television program that can make heavy use of practical special effects.
Yeah, man.
It's a Japanese superhero kaiju, I'd say, franchise that started in the 60s. It's basically a franchise where giant monsters attack Japan and humans and aliens have to fight said monsters by growing the size of skyscrapers to fight them.
Yeah, man.
It's a fun franchise that usually caters to a kids' audience, and the movie acts as a reboot of the original show in the 60s, retelling the most popular stories and episodes in a film format. If the term Shin seems familiar to James, it's because this is the second movie in a disconnected trilogy, similar to the Cornetto trilogy, the first being Shin Godzilla. And the latest being Shin Kamen Rider.
Yeah, apparently that one wasn't as good.
Shin in Japanese meaning true or definitive, as all three movies are standalone
films. Man, this
looks
freaking sick as hell, man. I'm looking at this. I'm loving it.
It really doesn't sound like my thing. But, yeah, it sounds like your thing.
Oh, my God, Ultraman, look at him go. He's so big.
Yeah, so they're standalone films in the franchises that go back to what made the original films and shows special, all three movies being in some way worked on by the creator of the popular anime manga series, Evangelion Hideaki Anno. I've really butchered that name. That's so embarrassing. Anyway, already this is all very different from the usual recommendations on the pod.
No,
Japanese action movies aren't usually everyone's cup of tea, but I think there is an exception with Shin Ultraman.
God, look at this guy. He's so big.
Right, show me the picture.
No, I was watching the video of him.
Oh, okay. Oh, no. I can't be bothered.
No, just quickly. Look how freaking sick this guy is. Look at him. Watch, he's going to grow out. He's going to be like, look.
What? What is happening? Oh, God.
Yeah, that's him.
He's huge.
Yeah, he's big.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he a robot?
No, he's a man probably.
Oh, God. I don't actually know.
I hate that. Thanks for the letter. I hate that. All right. I just wanted to say
thank you so much, Xavier.
Yes, thank you so much. But thank you also to Collings who edits this every week. Also, Collins, you should thank us for having one less podcast thing for you to edit as well. You're welcome. No problem. Not a big deal. I'm happy to do it. Thank you also to Maisie, who's been on all of the socials and been keeping this thing alive.
I know, the poor long-suffering Maisie. Away. I know.
Yeah, we really appreciate that. And again, and I appreciate you, Claire, for doing the show with me. And I appreciate you. all the listeners, lovely listeners.
They are really awesome. Again,
we get the least worst listeners. Worst comments are on YouTube, then they filter through to the podcast. And then to hear. So there's all those, you know, by the time it gets here, it's all nice people.
I know. As I've said to you multiple times, and you always say, no, that's not true, but it is true. We have the best listeners, cream of the crop.
It might just be true, Claire, but I'll never tell.
So if you want to write to us, you still can write at suggestiveplot@gmail.com.
Yeah, we'll still check them out.
Check in that inbox and we'll let you know about future episodes and what's happening.
Cool.
Thank you as always to Royal Collings too. What a legend. I got to meet him in person.
You did?
The first time in
Very jealous.
So many years. I can't say.
Did he talk
years?
About me?
We certainly did.
Did he talk about me specifically?
He did.
Okay, good.
Can't remember what he said.
Oh, come
but
on.
But it was so, he's just the nicest person. Yeah. What was so fun and great about it, Collings, and this is just, it's just so great because Paul Collings has to deal with me not knowing my login passwords all the time, not being good with admin, not replying to emails and then replying all of a sudden and then suddenly wanting a thing done in like 2 days because my brain is just a nightmare.
Yep.
You recently discovered one of my journals and was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's just like.
What is this? It's
entirely
all
random. Over the show. Even
it's not
like
dated, it's completely out of order, even if you read it in order.
There's like recent stuff written at the start and like older stuff halfway through the book and then I like go back. I just find blank. I just open it to a blank page and start writing.
Yeah.
It's just a nightmare. It's just a – anyway. So Paul Collings has to deal with that woman on a regular basis. And it was funny in person because I didn't have anyone to sell the tickets at the door or check people off the door list because the venue had said they'd have someone, they didn't. And so Collings just came in backstage and was like, would you like me to do the – oh, maybe I asked him to do the door list, but he came in.
He probably knew. He probably
came in with my laptop and was like, this is so funny, we're doing this in person. Can I have your password? And I couldn't remember it. And then he's like, it's okay, we'll figure it out. And then we like both had to figure this thing out. And it was just the funniest thing because we always do it online and we had to do it in person. And he was just as amazing and lovely in person. We are very, very lucky with this community.
Agreed.
Congratulations on 500 episodes.
Thank you so much.
And 10 years.
That's right.
10 years of all of this stuff.
10 years.
Very, very impressive.
Well, 10 years of podcasting. I did the YouTube for longer than that, but not a big deal. Don't even worry about it.
I love that you celebrated by writing 500 in pen.
You could barely
on
see
an A4
on
page.
People would, it would have been weird if we did anything else, I feel.
You could have literally packed out a big show
and
done a big extravaganza.
Yeah, I could have.
And it would have been awesome.
Yeah, but I didn't.
But I didn't even, I didn't even think of suggesting because I knew you didn't want to.
Never.
No.
I should do some more live shows. I do enjoy them when I actually do them. But just the thought of the organisation and.
You hate doing them.
Stresses me out and.
I hate I have
You love live performance.
I
can do it. Like I can do it because.
You're really good at it.
My performance is. Performance. It's not a performance. It's just talking. But I can do it because like I was a teacher, so I can do it. But I don't get like the buzz. That
no,
you
in fact,
get.
You just get exhausted.
Yeah, afterwards I get off and I'm like, oh.
The lead up is not worth it. I've just stopped even suggesting it because the lead up, you get so mad and you just complain and complain and complain and complain.
And then everyone's so nice.
And everyone is so nice to you, and you have this lovely time.
Yeah.
And but the lead up is just not worth
it. It's really bizarre because no one cares about this. We should stop. But nobody knows who I am. Obviously not. Of course they wouldn't, right? Because I live in the suburbs and I'm just a guy, right?
Yeah.
Which is true.
It is true.
I go into a room where literally every person knows who I am and has listened to like extensively. It's like it's really bizarre. Like, yeah.
The world is a very strange, bizarre
in a nice
place.
Way, let me just say that. But yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's because they're like really, really lovely people that listen. And so, but yeah, but you don't really, I just feel like you find it stressful.
Yeah. But I should also say when I'm doing it, I'm fine. Like I feel fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I'm talking to people, I feel
and
fine.
You really
it's
like
only
meeting
after.
People.
Yeah, I do. I really do. Yeah.
I've sometimes.
Whenever people come up and say hi, I'm like, it always catches me off guard because I just never expect it. If someone's looking at me, I'm like, what is this? What's happening?
Yeah. Then, yeah. It is interesting though, isn't it? Because we really have to finish. But what I find interesting too is sometimes we've floated the idea of just having like a catch up with fans of the show because I feel like you would probably prefer that to like
probably,
being on stage.
But I don't know. How would we even like. do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Would we be like, six of you can come? First six. I don't know.
Who knows? Anyway, as always, thank you so much to everyone for listening to the show. And I'll hopefully pop in and be around the traps.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.